Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you, blessed to be given a do-over, blessed to be a child of God. Thankful that our Lord God woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, ready to go to work for the Lord. Hallelujah, and blessed that he has given us this magnificent and awesome word that we call the Bible, our basic instructions before leaving this wicked earth. For God is good and his mercy endures forever and all time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to get in our word this morning. So let us pray. Father God, cannot express how grateful I am to be your daughter, to be able to speak and teach and share your word. Father God, I pray that whoever may be listening today, that this word may touch their heart, may touch their mind, and may touch their spirit, that they will say, I choose the Father today. That they may say, the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Lord, help us to be more righteous, to be more faithful, to not be like Saul, chasing after vengeance, chasing after power, chasing after things that are no longer ours. Lord God, we ask you to bless this nation, Lord God. Help us to become united in love, united in truth, united in hope, united with caring hearts for each other. Lord, remove hatred. Remove the violence in our streets, oh God. Four-year-olds are not shot in Times Square as they're visiting a city. Father God, help us that our children are not carrying guns into the schools. And that our politicians are not believing in lies and untruths. Lord God, help us to be better and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Which brings me to, Lord, help us to love ourselves so we can love others. Give us wisdom, give us strength, give us all the things that we need and desire to be better human beings. To be better people. To have the fruits of the Spirit. Lord God, continue to guide us. Continue to let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirit. In the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ, for your Son, and for this word. And it's in the name of the Savior Christ Jesus, I pray, lifting up his name. And thanking you for his sacrifice. This I pray in Jesus' name. Again, I pray, Lord God, thanking you and saying, amen. Giving honor to God. And our Savior Calvary, who died for us on Calvary. All I can say is thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mercy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us, your Son, choose our Father today. Don't allow the enemy to get into your head. Don't allow him to get into your spirit. Don't allow him to take you down the path to darkness. But you are light. You are beauty. You are sons and daughters of God. So let's get in this word. I say this like the fifth time, right? Let's get in this word. For those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of family life principles, daily Bible biblical principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, and I say to everyone, and again, I always have to clarify, I am not being paid by InTouch Ministries or Dr. Stanley to hawk his Bible, but I say this. This should be a Bible in your arsenal of Bibles. You know, I do have a lot of Bibles. I have quite a few, actually. But I like to tell you, it is good to have this Bible. If you are looking for a daily word, you know, whether you're listening to this blog or not, or after you've listened to this blog and you want your own daily devotional, this is a great daily devotional Bible. It gives you the word. It gives you commentary. It gives you everything you need, the devotional and meditation. It is in this book. So I would tell everyone this book. Get this Bible. Get this word. And I love it. Growing in knowledge and understanding of God through his word. And it's guaranteed for life. Hallelujah. It's this Bible is certified, hallelujah, certified and guaranteed for life. Our Bible is our lifeline to God, and it's so good to know it, to read it, to have it, the word in your arsenal, that when the enemy comes up to you, you know what word to use. It's a great word. You have highlightables, you have life lessons, you have what the Bible says about, you have questions, you have examples, you name it, it's probably in this word, Bible. And again, I am not being paid by InTouch Ministries to sell this Bible, but I would tell anyone it is worth having in your arsenal of the word. You know, I have several that I go through and go to when we're on the blog. I also, one of my other Bibles as a minister for women's ministry, that is my calling. That is the ministry that I'm in. And so I do shout out, again, others. I shout out Beth Moore, who is an awesome women's ministry author, who has written many, many wonderful books. But the Bible that I like to also read is the Study Bible for Women. And I am a New King James Bible fan. I read New King James because I like to understand what I'm reading. And so that's for women. It's a great Bible to have. And this is by Holman's. Another one that I have is an Amplified Bible. I love the Amplified Word. So if you get an Amplified also, because an Amplified Bible will give you a little bit more in-depth understanding of the word that you may be reading. So even though I'm coming out of the Charles Stanley Study Bible, there may be times, especially on Fridays and Sundays, that I may use my women's Bible or I may use the Amplified because I'm staying in one section. I may be totally in the New Old Testament, or I may be in the New Testament completing a word for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I may be a little bit over, but our main Bible that we are studying from is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James. And so I would just say, please, if you get opportunity, get this Bible. It is so worth everything, and it is good. And because, like I said, this is dealing with biblical studies, this show. Another arsenal weapon that I like to use, and it's for devotion. If you are have on your cell phone, another Bible to have is from YouVision. You need to go and download the YouVision Bible application. It is wonderful. And it says, every Bible for everywhere. It's your Bible, your highlights, bookmarks, notes, all across all your devices. Focus your friendships around the Bible. Share what you want when you want. Right now, I am doing a study on faith through my YouVision Bible. And it's like a just daily devotion. It's wonderful. And the one that I am doing right now is called, let me get my plan. It's from Rick Warren. And it's a 14-day devotional, Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. It deals with faith, and it's like a several-part book. So I'll be doing this for quite a while, but I'm on day 12 of my 14-day devotional. I've done others, you know, different other plans that come in the YouVision Bible. But every day you get a daily devotional also. And the verse for today comes from Luke, which is, and it says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And it's so funny because in the devotion that I'm reading today, it's dealing with faith, but it's also dealing with the tongue. What you say, what you speak, all those things determine how you are perceived. If all you speak is evil, then your tongue is saying that you got evil in your heart. If what you speak is positive, then they're showing the light of God from your tongue, because we all know that the power of death and life is in this little membrane behind our teeth, which is why many, many times we need to keep it right where it is, behind our teeth, and not say things that can hurt, that can harm, that can destroy. Because we can say some stuff that can hurt people. And we got to be very careful how we say it, what we say. And, you know, I love the fact that it gives you many different words, you know, and it gives you scripture related to whatever you may have read. Like I just read this morning out of the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45, King James. But it'll give you comparison scriptures. You know, so I just say, Liza, this is my day to get people out there reading the Word of God. Get you a plan. And they have so many. Whatever you may be going through, there's probably a Bible plan out here for you to discover to get you on the right track. You know, I've done several different plans. I've, you know, several different things. You know, the more you study, the more you know. So it's very important to get you some things in your biblical arsenal. But this is a great Bible to have on your phone. Another Bible app that I use all the time is from Bible Gateway. And Bible Gateway is another app that you can download. And it also has a daily word. And today's word on Bible Gateway is this. It's dealing with Proverbs chapter 31, as we are in this month of women and month of mothers. And it talks about virtue. And it says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. You know, we want to be proper women. We want to be that 31 woman, you know, who is blessed. Because a man who in the Lord, God wants us to be better, better than we are. And as we go in our word this morning, we're going to see where God wanted Saul to be better. He wanted him to understand that when you mess up, you clean up. And maybe God will choose someone else to do an assignment that may have at one point been yours. Don't get angry if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not following what God told you to do. You're doing you. We can't do us. We got to do what's right. And we got to do, when we mess up, clean up and apologize. If you hurt someone, apologize. If you did something wrong, apologize and repent. Nobody's perfect. You got to learn how to just be open and honest and speak your truth. But if your truth is not the right thing, keep it behind your teeth. That's just how I feel. So let's keep going. Let's get moving. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 1, 27 through 12. It says, now the Ziphites came to Saul at Geba, saying, is David not hiding in the hills of Helkah, opposite Jesmon? Then Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 1,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Helkah, which is opposite Jesmon, by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of the army. Now Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Amalek the Hittite and to Abishai, the son of Zerah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner, the people lay all around him. And then Abishai said to David, God has delivered the enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. Here you go again. That's not my anointing. Whether you like Saul or not, he was God's anointed. He was God's chosen. Yes, God took the kingdom from him, but he did not take the anointing. He did not take the anointing. He took the kingdom. And David, understanding, he also had an anointing. And this is what David told him. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David understood. Don't touch God's anointed. We wonder why folks get sick. We wonder why folks die early. We wonder why some things are happening to certain people, because they put their mouth on God's anointed. They put their hands on God's anointed. Tongue behind your teeth. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand, I'm saying it again, against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let us go. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. And no man saw or knew it or awoke, but they were all asleep because the deep sleep from the Lord had on them. Now David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great distance being between them And David called out to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, do you not answer Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who are you calling out to the king? So David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord, the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord, the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die because you have not guarded your master, the Lord anointed, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was by his head. Then Saul knew David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son David? Said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now, therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go, serve other gods. So now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. And that's the title of my word today. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Not for your mama's righteousness, not for your daddy's faithfulness, not for your grandmama's righteousness and faithfulness, not for your sister or your brother or any other person's righteousness or faithfulness, but your own. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not my hand against the Lord's anointed. Touch not my anointed. We got to keep that in our mind, because so many folks love to put their mouth on their pastors, put their mouth on the ministers of the churches, the deacons, and the folks in leadership. But when asked to do something, they don't ever have time. But yet they want to complain and criticize everything that's going on in the church. And then they leave the church, and behold, the church starts doing better. Maybe the problem was not the pastor. Maybe the problem was not the ministers or the people of the church. Maybe the problem was you, because you the one that left and the church is doing just fine. And when folks go in, they don't see what you said the church was like, that it was a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that. Maybe the whole lot of this and that was you. So we got to be very careful about putting our mouth on God's anointed. And it says, and indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulations. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. He blessed David. And actually everything he said, may you be blessed. And he was. You shall both do great things, and he did. And also still prevail, and he did. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Chapter 27, 1 Samuel. And it says, and David said to his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. And David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, and Ananoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail the Carmelite, Nabal's widow. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, if I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? Gave him Zalek that day. Therefore, Zalek has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistine was 1 full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and raided the Gershurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from old, as you go to Sir, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep, the oxen, and the donkeys, the camels, and the apparel that returned and came to Achish. Then Achish would say, where have you made a raid today? And David would say, against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jezreelites, or against the southern area of the Kenites. David would say, neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, saying, lest they should inform on us, saying, thus David did. And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. David was doing the will of God while he was in the land of the Philistines. And wherever we are, we have to do whatever it is that we are told to do by God. But we are all children of God to do God's will. And let us continue. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 10. The Lord shall strike him. Once more, David refused to kill Saul when he had the chance. David's aide saw the opportunity as a divine blessing, but David saw it as a test. He would wait for God to act in his own time. And that's what we have to do. You can't go around wanting to destroy your enemies. I'm a getter. I'm going to get him. Nope. I'm going to give him or her to God and keep it moving. Because they don't destroy you. They don't destroy. You don't destroy them. They destroy you by your vengeance, by your hatred, by all the things that are in your heart. Because so as a man speaketh, so is he. And we don't want to speak destruction and damnation. We give it to God. I give it to you. And I can say this. And it scares me. It has scared me on occasion. Things happen to people that have gone up against God's anointed. I mean, serious things have happened to people that have gone up against God's anointing. And I will say this, many are dead. And if they're not dead, their children are dead. Their spouses are deceased. They are divorced. They are going through some stuff, putting your mouth on God's anointed children. Keep your tongue behind the teeth. 1 Samuel 26 and 21, I will harm you no more because my life was precious in your eyes this day. It is one thing to know that you have acted foolishly and made grave mistake. It is another to repent of the foolishness and the error. Saul did the first, but not the latter. God calls us to do both. And I'm going to say that again. It is one thing to know that you have acted foolishly and made a grave mistake. It is another to repent of the foolishness and the error. Saul did the first, but not the latter. God calls us to do both. We got to repent of what we do. We got to acknowledge and we got to repent. That's what God is asking us to do, to acknowledge our mistake and to repent. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for the mistakes that I made, for the foolish moves I've done in my life. We got to clean up and do better. That's it. Do better. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are in Psalms chapter 60, verses 6 through 12. And it says this: God has spoken to his holiness. In his holiness, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Philistia shout in triumph because of me. Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O Lord, who cast us off? And you, O Lord, who did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, but it is he who shall tread down our enemies. And I love this word. This is also a life lesson from Dr. Stanley. Through God we will do valiantly. While on our own we can do nothing, Dr. Stanley says. Through faith in God we can do valiantly. So Paul said, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. Romans 15 and 8. And we're going to go over to Romans 15 and 8. And we're going to Romans 15 and 8. And yes, I am using the physical Bible and not electronic this morning. There's nothing like a physical Bible to hold in your hand. I like to say something you can touch and feel. And know that God gave it to you. And it says this, I'm going to go back to verse 17. And it says, in Christ Jesus, then I have legitimate reason to glory, exalt in my work for God, and what through Christ Jesus I have accomplished concerning the things of God. For, of course, I will not presume to speak thus of any work except what Christ has actually done through me as an instrument in his hands to win obedience from the Gentile by word and deed. And this is Paul speaking. And it says, even as my preaching has been accomplished with the power of signs and wonders and all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit, the result is that starting from Jerusalem and as far around as Ephraim, I have fully preached the gospel, faithfully executing, accomplishing, carrying out to the full the good news of Christ, the Messiah, in its entirety. And that is the Amplified Bible. I'm like, whoa, go on, Paul, with yourself. You know, he wanted everybody to know. He said, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 15, it says, we who are strong in our convictions and of robust faith also bear with the failings and the frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts and qualms of others and not be and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us make it a practice to please make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, and to build him up spiritually. Verse 3, for Christ did not please himself, gave no thought to his own interest, but as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproached and abused you fell on me. What a word. That's a pretty awesome word. So that's why you get different words, different Bibles to look at and to read, because it gives you a bigger perspective of the word. And as Dr. Stanley said, I will not dare to speak on any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. In other words, I still got work to do. And we, family, we still got work to do. And this is what Proverbs 16:4-5 says, the Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Everyone proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Don't worry about folks that have did you wrong, because if they are continuing in their skullduggery, just know, talking about you like a dog, don't worry about it. God got you. If they are trying to harm you, God's got you. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. Wherever you go, you are covered because you are a child of God. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Don't worry. Have faith that whatever is going to happen, God's got you. You are covered. Blood of Jesus from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. And it says in John chapter 2, verse 1 through 25, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said, her woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servant, whatever he says to you, do it. In other words, boy, I know your gifts. I know where you came from. I know who your daddy is. And I know you can handle this situation. Mary didn't even trip. She just like, whatever he tell you to do, that's what you do. In other words, I ain't got time to listen to you. We done run out of wine, and you need to make some more. Come on now. She had one of them moments to her own son. Like, child, don't even try to backtalk me. What do you say? Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother, she probably gave him that mama look. You know how we do. You know, that look with that little eyebrow that goes up. Like, I know you didn't say nothing. I know you are not talking back to me. I don't care how old you are. I know you are not opening your mouth to talk back to me. That look, that mama look. And what she say? And this mother said to the servant, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests had well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning, the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and drugs and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, I love this word, he drove them out, all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews said, it has 6 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in him, his name, when they saw, many believed in his name, when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew that he was in man. What a word. And I have a life lesson from our New Testament word, and all I can say, it's good. It says, whatever he says to you, do it. John chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus' mother did not understand everything her son said or did, but she understood enough to know that it was always wise to do what he said. It still is. Do what he says. And that should be our word too. Just do what Jesus said. Just do it. You know, Nike got the little swish, just do it. We got to have a swish in our heart for the Lord. Just do it. Whatever you're asked or told to do by God, just do it. And I'm not speaking just to you. I'm speaking to myself. I need some just do it in my own heart, in my own household, in my own things. Just do it. Need some just do it in my heart. And we all need to just do it. John chapter 2, verse 17, deal, for your house has eaten me up. The disciples would not have been able to remember this text, Psalms 69 and 9, if they were not already familiar with it. For God to use his word to encourage and instruct us, we have to spend time in it. I say it again. For God to use his word to encourage and instruct us, we have to spend time in it. We have to spend time in this word. The hardest test I ever took in my life was to get my degree in theology. Hard to remember scripture. It's hard to write down what certain scriptures mean in essay form. It is no joke. I tell you this, we got to work for God. John chapter 2:22. When he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them, and they believe the scriptures. Sometimes we hesitate to spend time in God's word because we don't feel as though we're getting anything out of it. But often the text does not click in our minds until sometime later. And that's the truth. Saying a word until it clicks in your mind later when you need it in your arsenal because you are under attack by the enemy. We got to keep the Lord's word in our arsenal. We got to have faith. I tell everybody my license plate has faith on it. And the reason being is because I drive on faith every day. Every month I'm driving on faith that God is going to give me the money I need to pay my car payment. I drive on faith that my car is going to get me from point A to point B without an accident. I drive on faith that when I get in it, it's going to start in the wintertime and that I will have heat. And in the summertime that it will start and I will have air, that I will be able to take whomever is riding in my car safely from their from one destination to the next. I have faith that the angels of heaven surround me, the angels of peace, the angels of mercy, the angels of grace, that they surround my vehicle every time I get in it, and that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and that the enemy will stay away because I am surrounded by the angels of the Lord. Every time, on your faith. And when I have time, I spend time with God in my vehicle. There are times I will get off work, drive into my garage, turn my car off, and just have a conversation with God and pray and worship and give God glory. For God is what everything we have. It comes from God. That we ask God to give us time to enjoy the gifts that he's given us. But understand that everything materially that you have is going to be here when you die. It's going to be here when you die for somebody else to have to clean up, pick up, and do with. We got to do what we need to do while the day is high. Because when night comes, time to go to rest, go to bed. Sometimes I can't sleep because I'm thinking all the time about the things I need to do. And then I feel like a hand of God just comes over me and says, sleep. And when I wake up refreshed because I had the deep sleep that God put me in. We got to calm our minds and our spirit and understand that we need to know who we belong to. Our sons and daughters of God, and may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. We can't go to heaven on our mama's prayers. We can't go to hell on our daddy's curses. We can only do what we can do for ourselves. How do you treat your fellow man? And this is what it says in what the Bible says about John chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. And as we go forward, it says, when Jesus spoke to disciples about being raised from the dead in 3 days, it didn't make sense to them initially. Yet John chapter 2, verse 22 tells us, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Because the temple that he was talking about was his earthly body. It was going to be torn down and come back, be built again in 3 days. Nails in his hand, nails in his feet, pierced in his side. He died for me. But 3 days, he rose again. It says this, then the Passover feast, Jesus became our sacrificial lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's easy for us to see the scriptural significance of what occurred because we know that his death and resurrection marked the beginning of the new covenant. Yet we often think that the next feast The disciples celebrated was Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit empowered the church. Unfortunately, there's a feast we often miss. Through Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks, refers to the 15th day of the Hebrew harvest. The harvest actually started on the third day after Passover with the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits, which makes sense because Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20, Paul writes, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. During first fruits, people brought offerings of barley, the first crop of the year, to the temple. When God accepted it, it meant He was promising to provide them with the rest of the harvest. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9 through 14. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Likewise, Jesus' resurrection is given as a guarantee that we will live forever. Now understand, when Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, He wasn't only talking about His crucifixion and His resurrection. He was saying that the way people worshiped and the way the church would function would completely change too. Remember, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. No longer would people go to the temple to make offerings because Christ became our offering. And we ourselves became an offering as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. On the Feast of First Fruits, Jesus raised a new temple in us. We became God's temple. Paul writes, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God. We are the new temple. When they tore Christ down, God raised us up. We are an acceptable offering to the Lord because Christ made us acceptable. The Romans destroyed the earthly temple, the one mentioned in John chapter 2, verse 20 in AD 70. And today, what stands in its place is the Muslim Dome of the Rock. Ever, we no longer look to a temple that can be destroyed. Rather, we are the temple that will last forever, and that grows in strength with each person who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. What can we learn from this? What should we take away from the Feast of First Fruits? In all things, we must imitate Christ, the first of the harvest, and have the eternal perspective that He had. Jesus came to give us everlasting life, to change our focus from the temporary to the eternal. Is there something you are struggling with today? Some people, some temples that's being torn down in your life, Jesus is rising it up again, but not necessarily in the way you think. Jesus has a better eternal vision for your life than you can imagine, so trust Him and be assured that what He's building in you will last forever. Word, it has touched my heart. Just remember who you are and who you belong to. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and He loves you unconditionally. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to be saved. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. If there's anyone that has a word from the Lord, and just remember our title for today, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Let us be righteous and faithful to the Lord our God, for God is watching. God knows our name, and He knows everything about us. And a word from our sister in Christ, morning, Sister Carolyn, is this. You cannot judge things by your senses. Go by the word of God, not your feelings. Have a word of wisdom Wednesday, family. And that is our word today. Thank you so much for listening in. I love you all. I thank God for you, and I ask God to continue to watch over you. And just a prayer for those that are traveling today. Father God in heaven, I ask you to give your children, your ministers, your apostles, your pastors, those that are traveling the highways and the byways, your ministers of the fivefold. I ask you, Lord God, to watch over your evangelists, to watch over your prophets, teachers, and preachers as they travel highways and byways today to teach and preach your word in evangelism. Lord, I ask your angels of mercy and grace to cover every airplane, every train, every automobile. As they say train, planes, and automobiles, Father, I ask you to cover each and every one, that those that are your children will get to their destination safely, to do your will, to do it your way. Father God, I pray for their obedience as I pray for mine, asking you to watch over us, to guide us, and lead us. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I say, Father God, please watch between me and those that are listening live and those that are listening later. As we depart from each other this morning, Lord, I pray that your word touch hearts, minds, and spirits, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart were acceptable in your sight, Lord God. For as always, you are my strength and you are my redeemer, and I am grateful to be called a daughter of the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for this day that you have made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. And it is in Jesus' name I pray over your traveling, over those that are traveling today, those that are traveling the highways and byways, those that know you and those that don't. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. In Jesus' name again I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, thanking you for listening in this morning. And as always, we say together, it's a wrap, family. Why? Because we got to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Thank you so much. Be blessed and have a worshiping Wednesday. Have a wisdom Wednesday, as Sister Carolyn said this morning. Keep God first in everything that you are doing. Wherever you go, he will go with you. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.